Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Any day that starts off with me remembering to turn on the microphone is going to be a good day. Would you stand? Church with you this morning, would you greet them? Not the person who came with you, someone who was not with you when you got in the car. Thank you.
is my prayer in the harvest, where favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see so clearly now. Hallelujah! Grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah! All my stains are washed away. They're washed away.
Next time you use one, you know, just think about scriptural things. Hey, in Islam, the call to worship, the Adam, is actually to listen, interpreted to listen. In an invocation, we are to call into the presence God and His Spirit. So I thought you should do that, and we should do that collectively together. Instead of just hearing a voice, God can hear all of our voices in our hearts. So spend a moment, get yourself right with the Lord to prepare for worship this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We look forward to your presence. May your Spirit fill this room. Father, may we listen and may we be informed this morning that we can leave here knowing that we have met with you. We'll give you all the praise and honor and glory, for you and you alone are worthy. For it's in the powerful name of Jesus that I do pray. Amen.
Surrender all to Him, I freely give. I touches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, you are Lord.
Take your Bibles and go to the Old Testament today, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is where we're going to be. It's in the front of the Old Testament. It's not too hard to find. And when you get there, go ahead and find Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, we're going to start with verse 1, which is a good place to start. But then we're going to kind of skip down just a little bit. And look, as we're continuing a series entitled 2020 Vision. I told you as we kicked off the year last week that we're going to take an honest look, and I'm inviting you to take an honest look at how you live your life. And we told you last week that when you look at your life and you look at your life through the lens of God, what you have to see is that you get the opportunity to live a life that is blessed. And I want this to be the best year of your life, and I want this to be a great year for you, and I promise you that if you'll learn to look at your life through that blessing of God, it will be amazing. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the blessing of God and living a blessed life as we kind of move into this new year. And then we're going to move into a series immediately after this called Blessed to Bless, reminding us that we are blessed for a reason. We talked about this last week. We'll talk about it this week, but we're blessed to bless others. And when you start living your life that way, you have a clarity for what your life is supposed to be and for what your life is supposed to come that you just can't have if you don't do that. In addition to that, we're unrolling some things in the days ahead about not only your individual vision for your life, but then where we're going as a ministry, and some things are going to be happening in the days ahead here that are very exciting and tremendous, and we're excited to share them with you, and they will be unfolding in the days ahead as well. So all of that kind of kicks off this 2020 experience that we're a part of. And so today we're going to talk about being under the umbrella. Being under the umbrella. If you have your worship flyer, you can kind of see where we're going. And it's on the back there, and so it'll be simple to follow along. If you have the app and it's open, you can get the outline there. I will warn you going in that I'm going to talk a long time before I get to the first point. Don't panic. I figured out the time. It's going to be just fine. But it's going to be a little while before I get to the first point. So if you're looking at your watch going, my gosh, he hasn't gotten to the first point yet. I'm going to be late to lunch. You may be late to lunch, but it's not going to be my fault. I'll get you there on time. I'll give you every opportunity to get to lunch on time. Because I care. But I also want you to know there's going to be a little bit of ways, and there'll even probably be a video in there too. I'm just warning you. Okay, so I don't want you to panic. Don't get nervous. Don't get antsy. Don't run out to the bathroom 10 times thinking, he is never going to stop. I got to get there before the crowd does. Take your time. We'll be all right. All right, with that being said, Deuteronomy chapter 28, let me read in verse 1. It says this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And then if you look at the passage and just kind of glance down, let your eye just run down the page a little bit, what follows is a listing of some amazing things that God wants to do. And if you keep letting your eyes run down the page, and then you get to about verse 14, he reminds them, don't turn away from the commands. And then in verse 15 it says this, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. And there's a whole bunch of bad stuff then. And those verses are written at a time where they are written for a specific group of people. And so there's nothing there that's a specific promise that you can say, okay, this is the promise of God for me. But it is something that you can pull out. And there's a principle that's there that I want to extract this morning for you that is a universal principle that speaks volumes to you. And it's really simple. It repeats over and over again in Scripture. This is just where we start today. And it's simply this. Here's the principle. God blesses obedience. GBO, God blesses obedience. In other words, when you are faithful and you do those things that God has asked you to do, he has made a promise to you and he's going to bless you. He blesses your obedience. Now, the good news for you, the good news for me, is that God even blesses us when we're not obedient. And most of us in the room can attest to that. Because there are some days in this room where I know some of you guys are rats. But God's blessing you anyway because he's a great God. And I will say that in my life, you know, I'm not always perfect. And so because I'm not, I can attest to the fact too that in spite of my imperfection, God blesses. We talked about this last week. God's default setting is blessing. There's just something about God that he just likes you. I don't know what he sees in you, but he sees something. And God likes you a lot. And he's blessing you, and he wants to bless you. And so we get to live our lives as followers of Jesus, knowing that God just wants to bless us. And yet we're reminded over and over again in Scripture that there's a passionate, imploring invitation to be obedient. And when we are obedient, God does some amazing things, and he blesses. And then we go back, and we think about the children of Israel, who, of course, are the recipients of this. And we find out time and time again how God blessed them. He called them to obedience, and they didn't. They didn't obey, and so then there was a price to pay for that, and they wandered, and they were in captivity. And all sorts of bad things happen. Because God does take seriously the fact that he does want you to be who you were created to be. And for each one of you in this room, as we talk about the vision that God has for your life, you have to realize that he's created you to live a life that is so much bigger than you are. And he wants to bless you. There is a best version of you that you can't be without him. And he wants you to live your life in such a way that you're going to impact and touch and change the world around you. And we said this last week. We make a life or make a living by what we make, but we make a life by what we give. And what God has given you, he's given you for a reason. He's given you to pour into others and to share with others. And he wants you to take what he has poured into your life and let you impact that world around you with it. And that means you are his agent of change in a world that desperately needs change. You are his light in the world of darkness that desperately needs that little sliver of light to come cracking through. You are the one that God wants to use to bless others. We went all the way back to the beginning. I said, God's been in the blessing business a long time. I said, if you go all the way back to that covenant he made with Abraham, it says this, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. That's what he tells Abraham. And I will make your name great and you will bless others. He doesn't make that optional behavior for Abraham. You're blessed to bless. You are the same way. If you've kind of decided that this is that life that you want and you've made that decision to kind of jump in there and be who Jesus wants you to be, then you're discovering that there is a blessing that has just come on your life that goes beyond anything that you can explain. And we talked about that last week and we broke it down for you and we said, you know, living with the blessing of God is in you, God is with you, God is for you, and that changes everything. And that changes the way that we face every day, and it changes the way that you're going to live out your week. It was even last Sunday that I began hearing stories back from you, and I love hearing the good stories back from you. I like the bad ones too, but not for the same reason. But the good ones, where the challenge last week as you walked out the door was, you know, ask God to remind you of the way that he blesses you. Live blessed and bless others. And even by Sunday night, when our guys got together, we all were able to share a story of how that had happened over the course of the afternoon. So all week long, I heard from you in different ways of some things that had happened where you had just taken seriously that call and very consciously said, you know, I'm different because I'm blessed by God, and I'm going to try to bless others. And you went out of your way to do that, and you discovered some amazing things about what God was doing and saying to you and how you were kind of moving through the week. And so obviously, we want that to continue this week. But God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to settle for less. And that's what we're talking about as we start this year. And so see your life clearly. See your life with that 2020 vision that allows you to see that you are blessed by God. Now, if you were to go to Westminster Abbey, there's a memorial to a man there by the name of James Hanway. The relief of James Hanway that is there is interesting because it depicts a man distributing clothing to children. And the inscription on that reads, this was the friend and father of the poor. If you go back and look at history, Hanway made his life as a sea captain and a merchant, and that's where he made his fortune. It was later in his life that he turned to philanthropy. He served as both governor and vice president of the Foundling Hospital, which was a home for the homeless. In the 18th century, in case you didn't know, the word hospital was used more generically. It was more tied to the word hospitality, as we think of it today. And it was the hospitality that was offered to families that were in dire straits or children that had been deserted by their parents. And so in the 18th century, he was a part of, as governor and vice president of that Foundling Hospital. But there's something else for which James Hanway is famous, because he did something that no Englishman had ever done before. Now, this is where history, you might not be able to keep up with him because you wouldn't pick this up, but I wanted to illustrate it for you because it helps me explain to you blessing. James was the first male Londoner on record ever to carry an umbrella. Now, some of you have heard it's bad luck to open an umbrella inside. But this is a series about blessing. Okay, so I got to tell you, I'm not really a big fan of luck. I'm all about God's blessing. But Hanway was the first male Londoner to carry an umbrella. Now, most of you know what an umbrella is. I've got one over my head right now, just in case someone trips the fire alarm and the sprinklers come on, I will be dry, and all of you will try to get under here with me. This was known originally, though, as a portable roof. That's what they went by before they gave them the fancy title umbrella. They called them portable roof. So, Rick, if you want to borrow this today when you leave and take it out this week and try to sell this, you can do that as well. But this is a portable roof. We know what it's for. It's designed to help keep you dry. But it was originally an accessory for women only. Now, obviously, as a pastor, I'm securing my manhood. Doesn't apply to me. I'm holding this right here. But you got to know that back in London, when Hanway started popping that umbrella up, It was for women only. So what does that mean? Well, it means that 250 years ago in London, men got wet and women stayed dry. There are stories of Hanway walking along, being hooted, hollered at by men who were out on the street laughing at him because he was carrying an umbrella. And he would just sing and whistle back at him and laugh. And he would say stuff like, "But I'm dry and you're wet. I'm good and you're a fool." And that was how he would respond back. And that's what he did. So they gave him a hard time. And he was, in some circles, known as the most mocked man of his generation. The most mocked man of his generation. But I know this, he was the driest. Because he had decided that, you know what, it was smarter to be under this than it was to be on the outside of this. And this is where it comes and applies to you today in Winter Springs. Think of this umbrella as the blessing of God. I want you to hear me, and don't read anything into this other than me just being honest with you. It is smarter for you to be under it than to be outside of it. I mean, as for me and my life, I want to be under it. You can decide not to be. You can decide to live your life any way you want. You can decide to do whatever you want to do. You can go with your plans, and you can figure out how you can self-make yourself, and you can self-make every mess that you want to make. But at the end of the day, you can also make a decision to live your life and get under that umbrella of God's blessing, because it's better to be under it than to be on the outside of it. And believe it or not, you get to make a choice of how you're going to live your life. You get to make a choice of how you want to move forward. So if you think of this umbrella as an illustration, and that's all it is, of God's blessing, there's nothing magic about the umbrella. As a matter of fact, it was $4.97 at Home Depot. But here's what we know about umbrellas. Contrary to popular belief, an umbrella does not change the weather forecast. Now see, some of you go, "Well, if I take my umbrella, it's not going to rain." You think that's a fix. It's not. It's not. I just want you to know that's just that it's not true. There's nothing magical about this or Mary Poppins' umbrella. It doesn't work that way. Okay. So if you pick an umbrella up in the morning, it doesn't going to change the probability or percentage of rain. So this umbrella doesn't change the forecast. The blessing of God doesn't necessarily change the forecast, because life is still going to be loaded with some pain and a little bit of heartache and a little bit of rain, no doubt about it. But the blessing of God covers us and gives us an extra layer of protection when we're facing those kind of elements of life. You know what I'm talking about. You've had an umbrella with you, right? You've been outside an umbrella. And unless it's just a Central Florida sprinkle, very rarely does an umbrella really keep you from getting wet. It keeps you from getting soaked. You know, but a good gust of wind will wet your backside. You can't avoid the puddles with an umbrella. So it is possible to move through a rainstorm in an umbrella and still get wet. But it's a layer of protection. It adds a little bit to it. It all falls apart when you try to get in your car. Right? I mean, you've been there. I fight with this beast to get in the car. I mean, it's nuts. And then you get soaked and you go, "Well, why do I have an umbrella?" Well, so you could get wet when you get in your car. But it's that extra layer. And so being under the umbrella of God's blessing does not mean that you get to sidestep sickness. You're still going to be sick from time to time. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be some issues that come along, some problems that come along that you're going to have to deal with heads on. And sometimes they're going to be really tough. It doesn't mean that you're exempt from suffering. There's still going to be moments that you suffer. There are also going to be some moments that you fail. Some moments that you just mess up big time. You're going to stumble and just say, "You know, man, I blew that." And we talked about that last week. We talked about the fact that the blessing of God is not a moment for you to claim health, wealth, and prosperity, because that's not scriptural. Jesus himself is the example of that. And we talked last week about holding on to what he said when he said, you know, he goes, "Listen, in this world, you'll have trouble." And he could have put in parentheses, "Just like I have. But take heart. I have overcome the world." And when God is in us and with us and for us, that means that his blessing becomes a little bit like this umbrella. It doesn't exempt us from anything except for the fact that we have a little bit more to surround us, and a lot more because it comes from God to surround us as we move through life. You know why, don't you? Because God loves you too much to rob you of the very thing that's going to ignite your character development and draw you closer to Him. See, we spend all of our lives wanting no trouble, wanting no pain, wanting no struggle. And sometimes we get frustrated because God doesn't answer our prayers that way. But why would He ever answer a prayer that doesn't grow your character or grow you closer to Him? See, sometimes when we pray, we don't even know what we're asking for. Because in our heads we say, God, I'd be closer to You if I'd never had a worry or a problem. No, you wouldn't. You're lying. You just don't know it when you're praying it. But God does. And He loves you so much, He'll let you take your lumps and He'll let you face the things. But what He is promising, that He won't let you face it alone. He's in us and with us and for us. It is that umbrella protection, if you will, that allows you to sing in the rain a little bit, even when life's not good or wouldn't be exactly as you scripted it. Jesus, again, faced the same thing. If you think about His life, He was betrayed by Judas, criticized by religious leaders, mocked by the military, and tempted by Satan himself. How's your day stack up to that? And we are called to be more like Him each and every day of our life. And so how do you get there if you don't face things? Now, again, it is the reality of the world that we live in. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. And every one of you in this room have paid the price for that, but you've also gone on and added your own chapter to the mix. We are all sinners, and we're saved by the grace of God. And Jesus enters time and space. He lives that perfect life. He becomes that sacrifice for us on the cross, and if we make the choice to believe, trust, and follow Him, then our lives can become radically different, and we get to experience this umbrella, this blessing of God, because He moves in and takes residence within you. And that's your choice. And even today, you have already decided how you faced the first part of this year. You're serious about it, and you're believing, and you're trusting, and you're following, and you're trying to be as obedient as you possibly can be, or you've decided that you're not going to do it, and you're trying to walk outside the umbrella. But that umbrella is that extra measure of grace in tough times. It's that extra song in a night of sadness. It's that peace that passes all understanding when life just goes crazy, chaotic, upside down, wonky. It's that joy that when you get to the end of the rope. We often miss out on the blessings of God because we are focused on the wrong things and we spend our time worrying. We're going to show you a video, like I promised. And you notice I'm still not the main point. I know, you're getting nervous. But because it's just so close to Christmas, we didn't want to get too far away from it. And some of you have seen it. We have shown it before. But it's a little song that's just kind of stuck in the middle of the musical White Christmas. And it was stuck there almost as an afterthought. But because the singer of the song liked it, it made the final cut. And so take a moment, look at the screen, and you'll remember the song because it does have a lot to say for us today.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. And I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all. I fall asleep counting my blessings. I think about a nursery and I picture curly heads. And one by one I count them as they slumber in. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings.
Do you mind? mind if I say something just for the record?
Oh, of course not.
I think what you're doing for the general is one of the most decent, unselfish things I've ever heard of.
No angle?
No angle. I want to apologize for the way I sounded in Florida. I guess I've always been kind of a silly schoolgirl. You know the bit, the Lady Fair and the Knight on the White Horse.
Let me tell you something. It's kind of dangerous putting those knights up on white horses. Likely to slip off, you know.
I think mine's there to stay.
That's sure good to know. Makes a fella feel a little shaky, though, up there all alone on one of those bleached chargers.
You worried?
Kind of.
If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep, counting your blessings.
Right here in church. Yeah, it's not bad advice. You've heard it before. It's certainly not new with a musical. But how important it is to count your blessings and realize that when you count them, God really is doing a lot. We challenged you to do that last week in some ways. You've had those moments when you're tossing and turning and trying to sleep. It's after bedtime, you're trying to kind of close out the day and shut down your thoughts, but you can't, and you keep replaying the same scenarios over and over in your head. Some vision of tomorrow, what might happen, some hope that's been dashed or is going to be dashed. And if you've had this experience, you're not alone. Everyone's experienced that, which of course is why the song resonates, why counting your blessings is certainly good advice for everybody. Researcher Lucas Lefrin, PhD, 2 years ago, did a study, and this is the most recent of the study. And he made this statement. He said, you know, what breaks my heart about worry is that it makes you miserable in the present moment as you try to prevent misery in the future. And if you're a chronic worrier, this process leads you to be continually distressed all of your life in order to avoid later events that may never happen. Let me paraphrase this for you. Worry sucks the joy out of the here and now. That's a reminder or a principle. Worry sucks the joy out of the here and now. You want to live a joyful life and you want to experience God's blessings, tank it by worrying. Worrying will leave you whirling. And when you're whirling, you can't focus on the things of God. And yet all of us have caught ourselves, all of us have gotten that spin cycle, that endless worrying that happens time and time again, but worry will blind you to the blessing that God is doing. In the study that he did, the participants were asked to record their worries and what was causing them distress and asking them to track how it interfered with their life. And they were honest, and it was extremely distracting, and it did interfere with their functioning day to day, but also their quality of life experience. And at each night, at the same time, they would actually fill out a report and give back to him how much time they had spent thinking about worry through the day, on worrying about certain things. And so they had signed up for this thing and they were getting paid for it. And then, 30 days later, they came back along to see how much of the stuff they worried about actually happened. Now, this is not the first time anything like this has been done. You've heard these numbers before, but in this particular study, it was interesting because 91.4% of the things that they were worried about never happened. And so all the stress, all the grief, all the energy, all the heartache, all of just that draining, frustrating, life-destroying, relationship-crippling angst that they went through, and 91.4% of the times was all for naught. But the choice was made to put the focus on worry instead of trying to redirect that somewhere else. Now, this is a non-spiritual study. His conclusion was, oh boy, wouldn't it be great if we counted our blessings every time we were worried. Now, as a non-spiritual guy, and I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, that's pretty smart, right? And then it brings to mind the song that you just saw. Now, please understand, though, it's easy to hear that and go, that's just pie-in-the-sky advice, and it's easy for you. No, it's not easy for me, and I know it's not easy for you. It just means that you have to make a decision and choice, because there's nothing about any of this conversation that we're having as we've started this year that exempts you from tough times. There's nothing about any of this that exempts you from going through stuff. There's nothing about this that says that your life is going to be easy and every step that you take is just going to be in a bed of roses and you're going to smell honeysuckle around you and there's never going to be a bee anywhere near the honey. But it is about making a conscious choice about how will I face this day, and will I face this day on my own understanding and my own gasoline, or will I choose to face it under the umbrella of blessing that God gives? And am I going to see my life as a life that's being blessed? Because I told you, sometimes it's hard and you don't even see it, and you may not even see it on this side of glory, but I promise you that for every one of those rough spots and those rough patches that you're moving through, and some of them are really rough, God has in there a blessing, and he is doing something in the midst of it that is trying to grow you and make you more dependent on him, making you trust him more, because the end game that he is going to use that for is for your greater good. Why do I know? Because Jesus said, life's going to be tough. But then, in a very loose paraphrase, he says, stick with me, kid. I've overcome the world. And so you make that choice. You make that decision of how you're going to live. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6. Who can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Boy, don't you just hate it when Jesus says it? I mean, sometimes I'd like to feel justified and good about my worrying. I wish there was some kind of holy high hill I could climb on and say, you know, I'm entitled to this worry. But you know what? The Bible doesn't give us any kind of indication that we can make the statement, I'm worrying in the name of Jesus. Well, what's your ministry? I worry. Well, how are you touching and changing the world? Well, I'm worrying for the world. I'm that guy. You know, you have a t-shirt made. I'm the worrier. The Bible calls us to be warriors, not worriers. I'll say it again. Calls us to be warriors, not worriers. And you're not worrying in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus kind of just pulled the plug on that. And out the drain it goes, because you can't do it. Because it is a colossal waste of time. Doesn't mean that you're not concerned. Doesn't mean you don't have to address problems. Doesn't mean that you just don't have to get pull, roll up your sleeves and plow into it and get her done. You've got to get her done. But you also make a decision of who you're going to trust in the middle of that. And so let me give you a couple of reminders here. Here's point one. See, I told you, if you look at the clock, man, it took a long time to get to point one, didn't it? Here it is. Get under it. Get under it. Verse says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. As I said, God's blessings are kind of like an umbrella, but you have to make the choice to get under it. Now listen to me carefully when I say this. I want you to hear it carefully, because I'll screw it up. We need to get under those things that God has put over us so we can get over the things that God has put under us. I will say it again. We need to get under those things that God has put over us so we can get over those things that God has put under us. In other words, we need to get under that umbrella, that obedience blessing of God and the blessing that he gives, so we can get over those other obstacles that are out there that he's placed out there so that we can grow closer to him. The problem is we're always trying to get over stuff without being obedient. We find ourselves trying to plow through things, and all of a sudden, as almost like an afterthought, we go, oh God, could you help me here? And we find ourselves in a mess trying to unravel a mess because we didn't start the right way and we didn't start by choosing to be obedient. And so when I say get under it, I'm simply saying to you, do what the passage says. Obey his commands. Get underneath it. Do what he tells you to do. God wants to bless you, but there's something that you need to strive to do. Be obedient. Will he bless you if you're not obedient? Of course he will. We've already talked about that. He's done that time and time again. But by the same token, the principle that is there that we see over and over again is that when we are obedient, God does some amazing blessing and so much more than we ever bargained for. Now, let me also take some more pressure off your life. This is a blessing. God's blessings are not contingent on your ability to combine the 26 letters of the English alphabet in some kind of magical abracadabra phrase. There's not some magical phrase that I can show you in Scripture that if you do this and you say this, then your life is awesome. Not there. It's not magic. It's God. And you just don't, you do the best that you can and trust that God can hear and interpret and move through. We talked on Wednesday nights, we kind of unpacked this idea a little bit more in blessing, and we unpack on Wednesday evenings what we're doing on Sunday mornings. And so if you missed it, go online, you might want to listen to it. But we talked about the role of the Holy Spirit in helping us as we live our lives blessed. And we talked about seeing red dots on curveballs, which is a whole baseball story that I don't have time to explain today. But when you talk about vision, understand that God, He will help you with this. He will do the heavy lifting. But you don't have to tell God how to do His job. He can do it fine without you. He doesn't panic. He doesn't get nervous. And so when you come to Him frantically screaming out, God, I need help, He doesn't go, whoo, I'm shocked at that. I didn't see that coming. Instead, He goes, I know, and I've been waiting for you to ask because I have so much more I want to do for you. But you have to make a choice to get under it. And you do the best that you possibly can and trust that God's going to do the best that He can do. And His best is something. Now, does it cost you something? Sure it does. Cost you everything. He asks you for your life. He asks you to go all in. He asks you to be obedient. But I can't imagine why you would ever want to live one day or one year without being the person that God created you to be. He's the giver of life. He can sustain life. You need to step in and allow Him to live that and push you through that. And so it does cost you something. There's a sacrifice that comes. I mean, Jesus talked about it. You have to take up your cross daily. That means you've got to die to self. Every day. There's no success without sacrifice. I mean, we live in a world, come on, you know we do, where we envy the success of someone else. We often think, gosh, if I could just be where they are. But you know what never happens in that kind of moment when we're feeling a little bit envious? Is we never really calculate the cost of what it took to get them there. Now see, I would like to be pompous enough to say, well, you know, somebody just gave it to them. But that's kind of ignorant. And, you know, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I'm smart enough to know that everybody that I know that has achieved some level of success in anything, it costs them a lot. And there's a lot of skill, and there's a lot of work, and there's a lot of things that they've had to do to get to that place that they're at. Because success always takes sacrifice. And if you want success without sacrifice, you're in trouble. Because you're probably never going to achieve it. Now, you could. But the blessing of God is something that you haven't earned to begin with, but when you are obedient, He showers you with so much blessing, more than you ever thought. Some of you Old Testament fans will remember back when Elijah was getting ready to leave and Elisha was walking with him in 2 Kings chapter 2. They're having this moment just before Elijah disappears. He says, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elijah at that moment could ask for anything, and he makes the most amazing request. We've talked about this before at other times. He says, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. I mean, Elijah is at that time the greatest prophet that we've seen on the scene, and here comes Elisha. And so Elisha, man, he makes this request, and it's like, whew. Now, interestingly enough, and this is a story for another time, another place, we've talked about this before, if you go back and you look at the miracles of Elijah that are recorded in Scripture, there are 14. You know how many there are for Elisha, right? 28. I know they did more miracles than that. That's the ones we have recorded. So God answered this. He honored this. I mean, this is awesome. And I'm like, I read that, my jaw just goes, wow, that's crazy. And when you're a nerd, sometimes like I am, that you like that kind of stuff. That's Bible trivia stuff. But, I think it's interesting when you get to the end of the passage, because sometimes we miss this part. Elijah's not sure what's going to happen, whether God's going to answer that or not. Because that's not Elijah's to give, that's God's. And Elijah makes a statement that is a whopper of a statement that we just kind of run past real quick. He goes, "You have asked a difficult thing." Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. You just asked the greatest prophet to walk the planet if you could have double what he's got. This lets you know volumes about Elijah. That is God's to give. That's not mine. He'll decide. It's a difficult thing. And then he puts a little test out there. He says, if you see this, you got it. Not now. Nah. And he just goes on. He answers the question, but doesn't give an answer. And I want you to know that sometimes we want God's blessing to be the easy fix for our life. God, just give me triple what you gave to Elisha. That would be a difficult thing. So what does it hinge on? How are you going to walk with God? Your obedience. God blesses obedience, and he wants you to be obedient. Get under that umbrella. Get under it. It is a covering that you need. It's not an easy fix, but it makes all the difference. So then the second thing that I want you to see is not only should you get under it, but you need to get over it. You knew this was coming, right? Get over it. Look at the next part. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. In other words, God has a lot for you out there. That sometimes we just tank because we're just not willing to be obedient. We just miss out on what he's got sometimes because we're just not willing to do it. You've heard the prayer. I know you've heard it before. Dear Lord, so far today, it's gone all right. I haven't gossiped. Haven't lost my temper. Haven't been greedy. Haven't been grumpy. Haven't been nasty. Haven't been selfish. Haven't been overindulgent. Haven't coveted anything or taken your name in vain. And I am thankful for that, God. I'm thankful for that. But in just a few moments, God, I am going to get out of bed. And from then on, everyone that I'm going to encounter will probably need a lot of help from you. Amen. We press out into the day. And each day we make the choice, are we going to live obedient? Are we going to be that person that we were created to be? And are we going to experience what God has for us? And he's going to have to help us. And that's what we begin to look at. Psalm 23 is a verse that you're probably very familiar with. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The word follow there is a Hebrew hunting term. Hebrew hunting term. And Psalm 23, although you hear it so often in funeral settings, it is a psalm for the living. If you've heard me lead in a memorial service, you know that it is positioned between two mountain psalms. Psalm 22, Mount Calvary. Psalm 24, Mount Zion. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death between the two. It's there for a reason. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't get hit full throttle by death. Rather get hit by a shadow. And the passage reminds us that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And I tell you it's a hunting term because sometimes we don't understand the implications of this, because what it means is that you can turn your back on God, you can run in the opposite direction, and you can run as far and as fast as you can, and you can even deny his existence and avoid him at all costs, and God keeps tracking you and he doesn't lose track of you. When he created you, he put this little Apple iPhone iPerson finder in you. He can find you wherever you are. And if at any moment you make the decision to turn back to him, you will turn around and find that there's a creator, your creator, that is standing there with his arms open wide saying, welcome back. And he's ready to reach out and he's ready to love you and forgive you where you are, in the midst of wherever you are, on the spot, because that's how much he loves you. And that is the blessing of God. He's called you for a reason, and he's called you for a purpose, and he hasn't left you alone, and he doesn't want to leave you alone, and he tracks you through your life because there is so much more that he wants to do for you than sometimes we even want for ourselves. An umbrella, as we said, doesn't mean you're not going to get wet. You will. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to all people. Sometimes we don't think that's fair. Much about life is not fair. And there's not a promise in Scripture that it will be fair. But you and I are living, breathing examples of the fact that it's not fair because we didn't get what we deserve because we're sinners. So we deserve death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so the blessing of God, that umbrella that you get to live under, is what God allows you to kind of move under that will help you perform at the best of your God-given ability. Again, the best version of you. Here's what I know about my life. If you take away the Holy Spirit, I'm below average. Now, some of you go, well, you're below average anyway, but neither here nor there. You take God's Spirit out of the mix, I'm a lot lower than that. For me to operate at my maximum operating potential and possibility, you've got to have the Holy Spirit of God within you. If not, I'm living at less than my maximum capacity. I'm not the best version of myself. And his blessing covers you and me like that umbrella, that illustration we've used now and tried to emphasize what this looks like. And it carries you through whatever you have to face. And in along the way, what you begin to discover as you let him do that, he does exactly what we're talking about. He gives you the opportunity to bless others as well. Some of you in this room are old football fans. I know we're coming up on Super Bowl Sunday before too long. You will remember from the archives of football, Amos Alonzo Stagg. He was the head coach at the University of Chicago years and years ago. He was the head coach of the original Monsters of the Midway for 4 decades. He won 2 national titles. His brainchild or contribution to football included the huddle, the onside kick, the T formation, and the forward pass. He was an innovator. So a lot of what we see today in modern football has some roots and origin in him. But that's not his greatest legacy. Because most of the time when they hear that name, Amos Alonzo Stagg, they think, well, great football coach. You have to go back to when he accepted the invitation at the University of Chicago to become their head coach. This was the response he gave back to them. After much thought and prayer, I have decided that my life can be best used in my master's service in the position of football coach that you have offered. I'll translate that for you. He just basically said to them, I'm going to accept the head football coaching position you offer me because I feel it's the call of God in my life. That's how he responded back. He would coach football to the age of 98. Some would say he was still coaching last week's game, but that's neither here nor there. But he was more than a coach because he molded and he mentored and he disciplined players. After one winning season, a reporter congratulated the coach on a job well done, and instead of just passively receiving the compliment, saying, well, thank you very much, he decided to coach up the reporter as well. And he looked back at him in his own unrelenting style, and he said, you know, I won't know how good a job I did for 20 years. Because winning and losing has nothing to do with it. It's all about seeing how my boys turn out. Pretty cool. You might not be surprised to find out he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. You might not know that he was not only inducted to the Hall of Fame as a coach, but also as a player. But the story gets better. Because not only was he inducted to the College Football Hall of Fame as a player and a coach, he also was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Because he coached football, baseball, and basketball. He was considered to be one of the greatest coaches of all time. He actually, in his lifetime, turned down 6 offers to play for 2 different pro baseball teams, but he forever changed the game and the lives of players and did his best to mold and make them better baseball players because of another invention he made that had nothing to do with football. He is the inventor of the baseball batting cage. Because he lived his life pouring his gifts and knowledge and ability into others so at the end of the day, they could be better. Your legacy will never be measured by what you get. It will always be measured by what you give. And you are blessed to bless. The lives that you pour your life into, the people whose lives that you touch and change, those places that you go and make better because you're there, because you take Jesus with you. Those are the moments that matter the most. And those were the moments and are the moments that will live on. So let me tell you what to do with this. Now what? Here it is. Remember this. God's got you covered. God's got you covered. And it's like an umbrella. It helps and it gets you through whatever it is that you're facing. And so you can live under his blessing and live life over the top. But you have to make the choice to do that. So as you pray this week, my suggestion to you would be simply pray, God, let me live under your blessing this week, on this day. Help me live my life over the top. Help me to see the difference that your blessing makes in my life. And then here's what I would encourage you to do at night when you wrap up your day. Instead of worrying about all the things that have gone on through the day, take a moment to count your blessings. But do it this way if you're a journaler, especially. If you write stuff down and track it, fill in this sentence. It's a sentence. Use the same one every day. Because I am blessed, blank happened today. In other words, specifically, and I've asked you to do this before, I asked you to do this last week, how was your day differently because you moved through that day under the blessing of God? His blessing on your life changed this. Maybe it's that person that you had to deal with that was just dumber than a post. And it was only for the blessing of God that he said, you know what? You're like talking to a dumb post. You didn't say it. Kept your mouth shut. Blessing of God. Maybe it's those knuckleheads that you work with. They can't do anything right. And if you're self-employed, it's you. But if it weren't for the blessing of God, you'd have fired yourself. Or the people around you. Or you'd have quit. I mean, there's some very practical applications for this. That's the now what? See your life clearly. Live with that vision that God has for you. Would you bow your heads and hearts? Let's pray. God, we are nothing without you. But with you, we are something. And we're more than just something, something. We're set apart. We're living differently. We're allowed the freedom to explore and become and chase dreams and discover all that you've created us to be. And Lord, that's only because you're good and we're not. And so, Lord, my prayer for each person here is that we would recognize that we are blessed and that we are blessed to bless. God, for some who have listened today, who will watch, who will download this in the days ahead, the problem that they've got at this moment is they've never made that decision to go all in. They've kicked the tires on faith so long, but they've never decided to get in and take the ride. And so as a result of it, there's a disconnect. They've never made the decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus. They've never made the decision to do what we talked about earlier, to recognize that you did everything that you promised to do, that you came, you lived a perfect life, you paid a price on a cross for our sins, you came back from the grave, you took the sting of death so that we could have life, and you invite us to a thing called abundant life right now. That seems so foreign to them because they've never made the decision to step in. And so, Lord, I pray that even now, that they would quit listening to me and start talking with you. And just simply say, God, I do believe. I trust you, and I will follow you. Understanding that even when they say that, they don't know all that means. And so, God, I pray that they would just take a moment to let us know by giving us back a worship flyer this morning, putting in the giving box on the way out the door that says, I want to accept Jesus as Savior, firing us an email that would just say, hey, this is a decision I've made, and can you help me with this? Because we can. But that changes their life forever and for eternity. And they will be able for the first time to discover what living blessed really means. Well, for others in this room who've been following you and want to follow you and are striving to follow you, Lord, I pray that for each person that's here, I pray that this would be a day where once again we would walk out the door with a clearer vision of what our lives are supposed to be. I know there's nothing we've said today that eliminates any problem, any struggle, or changes the circumstance in anyone's life. If there was a way to do that, we might have done it. But instead, what we've done is given them a way to view the world around them through a lens that only you can give, and it's our choice to do so. So God, my prayer for each person in this room is that today, as we walk out this door, we would walk out with a clearer vision, a 2020 vision for what our future is. And then in the days ahead, that you would challenge us together to look at our vision for the future here in this spot in Winter Springs, as together we're trying to touch and change the world. That's our prayer and our hope for this day and the week ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're getting ready to get out of here. Go ahead and stand to your feet if you would. I want you to have a good week. Live blessed. Bless others. Don't hesitate to share those stories with us. That's always fun to hear. And as we leave this morning, I want you to just reach out across to the person next to you, across the aisle if you want to. If you look at them, they look a little shady, you can pass that up. But anyway, I'm going to pray for us as we move out into the day. Go and touch and change the world with the love of God. Let's pray. God, you are so, so good to us, and we are thankful as we leave. Remind us of that over and over and over again, like a drumbeat in our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.